Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. The convention committee for a well-known company that specialized in upscale men's grooming products wanted a graphic and glamorous way to demonstrate how effective a guy's makeover could be, a contemporary haircut and style, eye gels, skin toners, all nine yards. So they found this guy living on the streets, all sprawled out and reeking of plenty of cheap booze. He said he didn't have a job and he didn't want one. Thank you, leave me alone. He didn't want anything different from what he had. But the convention program committee members offered him $500 to let them work with him for their convention demonstration. They promised they'd change him and he would love it. Eager to show what a professionally done cleanup could do for a guy, they cut and pasted and shampooed and styled for hours and topped it all off with an exquisitely professionally tailored suit, right down to a tailored shirt and an expensive, attention-grabbing tie. Time came for the program committee to show off its work. The once drunken street guy was paraded before the national convention as a changed man. He looked like a million bucks. Well, the convention ended 4 days later. As the conventioneers were leaving the convention site, they couldn't help but notice this same guy sprawled on the sidewalk nearby, a paper-bagged bottle still in his hand, a four-day beard, greasy hair, a fashionably tailored suit, filthy and torn. So much for the changed man bit. We are one and all bedazzled by what's on the outside. Tempted to focus our attention on externals, on what we see on the outside of the person sitting around us this morning, overlooking the real matter, namely what's on the inside. What's the heart of this person? What's driving her? What's in his heart? What's the bedrock source of this person's life? The Christians living in Galatia during the time of St. Paul were guilty of focusing far too much attention on externals, on all kinds of stuff, merely stuck to the outside of people, like their clothes or the rituals that they performed or whether or not they had performed certain rites and duties. Putting the proverbial cart before the horse, some Galatian Christians began insisting that to be a true Christian, you had to jump through a certain number of outward behavioral hoops first. Trusting in Jesus was for them just not quite enough. To that very wrong way of thinking and living, St. Paul writes his letter to them, and throughout all six chapters of this letter, he keeps hammering away at what really counts in Christian faith and Christian life. In so doing, particularly in this last chapter from which our epistle is taken for today, Paul gores everybody's ox. Circumcision doesn't count. Uncircumcision doesn't count. But what really matters is, what truly counts, what's the real heart and soul of Christian faith, is the new creation that God works through the cross of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. When people focus on Jesus, when people anchor their lives, their hopes, their faith on what Jesus has done for sinners, well, then the outside follows suit as well. Christ alters us from the inside out, as St. Paul reminds us in another of his letters, 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, done deal, remade from the inside out, not just an exterior dress up, but thoroughly through and through remade. And you can tell it shows what's in the heart, what's at the center, what drives and moves, makes its way outside into life. The people of that National Men's Grooming Products Convention could be fooled for a while when this once drunken, no-job-desired guy was paraded before them, but the truth of his nature came into clear view several days later when that convention ended. The truth couldn't be covered over with manicures, hairstyles, and expensively tailored threads. When people draw their very life from Jesus, when you and I focus all our attention upon Him, what He has done for us in His holy life, what He has done for us in His innocent suffering and death for our sin, and in His triumphant resurrection from the dead, when my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, folks, we are set free. Free from the shackles of living in the graveyard ruts of the same old, dead, prideful, careless ways. When the cross counts, life is lived in the constantly changing lane. The Apostle Paul has plenty of examples for that, into which we can sink our teeth today. And I warn you, there are no fly-by generalities here. When the cross of Jesus counts, we take all our cues from Him. That means that when someone is caught in a sin, we strive to restore that brother or sister, and we do it gently. Not some better-than-thou arrogant attitude, but as one who has himself or herself reeked of sin and death, yet rescued, redeemed by Christ the crucified. Daily, in our sinfulness, Jesus restores us in love. And by the way, He doesn't wait for us to come around. But rather, our shepherd, you remember, is the good one. He comes looking for us, calling out to us, confronting us. He comes to us that He might find us and restore us to the Father. When the cross of Jesus counts, we do the same for each other, period. This has no doubt been happening here among us, here at First Lutheran Church, over these past days and weeks, ever since our last voters' meeting. As the Holy Spirit has worked within our hearts, brothers and sisters in Christ who have spoken harshly and unkindly about others have come and sought forgiveness from those they offended. Brothers and sisters who have been hurt by offensive words and actions have approached those who offended them and have spoken the truth in love in an effort towards reconciliation. Brothers and sisters in Christ who should have spoken up in truth and in love, but who nonetheless remain silent. Brothers and sisters in Christ who should have bridled their tongues but didn't have now used the words from the cross of Jesus to speak peace and forgiveness. Brothers and sisters who were letting personal emotions drive them rather than the mind of Christ and the heart of the Good Shepherd, have asked the Lord's healing and laid hold of the solid, unchanging truth of the Word of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ who spoke or acted within the body of believers without discerning the consequences of those words and actions among us are working to bring healing and reconciliation. And brothers and sisters in Christ, who have remained away from the body and the blood of the Lord and the fellowship of this altar, and those who have absented themselves from their family here in worship, have returned to the Lord with repentant and joyful hearts. Everybody's ox is gored. There is, after all, no one righteous among us, not one. All we like sheep. And we, one and all, flee. We run for refuge to our Lord's infinite mercy, to His cross for us and for our life with each other today, our life with each other tomorrow and every day. If indeed the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, as the hymn puts it right up front, then indeed she is His new creation by water and the Word. God forbid that we should boast, save in the cross of our Savior Christ. Truth is, when the cross of Jesus counts, we carry each other's burdens. The Christian life, after all, is a shared life. One person can't move a piano up a flight of steps, but five or six folks working together can. Bearing each other's burdens helps lighten the load for others. To think we can go it alone is a deceptive trap, a trap of ego, self-satisfaction, and pride. And pride goes before the fall, always does. Truth is, and again, Paul talking, when one member in the body of Christ suffers, all do. That is because the Lord has so connected us one to another for serving one another in love. In practical terms, this means that we can't walk out on one another no matter what. Indeed, the ear cannot say, because I am not an eye, I'm not part of the body, so long, I'm out of here. We bear with each other as the Lord Himself bears with us. Just think how He bears with you every day. The Lord Jesus has connected us to Himself. He's our head, and He bears us all, and we carry each other. And when the cross of Christ counts, people know the honor, the privilege of hearing and being taught the Word of God, whether that's from pastors or school teachers or Sunday school and VBS teachers or from parents. So, therefore, focusing again upon the cross of Jesus, it means that anyone who receives instruction in the Word must share all good things with his instructor, writes Paul. Those words don't mean only salary. They go a whole lot further than that. Receptivity, willingness to learn, humbleness of heart, respect for the teacher, and showing honor for the word of truth. That's what happens, you see, when the cross counts, when the focus is on Jesus. And finally, one other thing. When you have your eyes on Jesus, when you live out that new creation He has made of you, you're anxious to share His life-freeing word and forgiveness with others. In the words of Paul, we are lavish in our sowing of that life that we have in Jesus, the life that the Holy Spirit works in us through the cross of our Savior. Here again, the words of the apostle. This is pretty good Greek. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not become weary of doing good. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. When the cross of Christ counts, the new creation is clearly evident. In other words, what's on the inside gets out. What's on the inside of First Lutheran Church gets out to the community and to the world. What's on the inside of the members of the body of Christ here gets out. Our hearts have been recreated, a divine mind make over like no other. Focused upon the cross of Jesus, we are molded in the cross of Jesus. Led by the Holy Spirit, we strive to live by the Spirit. And so, the Spirit turns us once again today to where our true and real treasure is, and there our hearts also, to the cross of our Savior. This comes in the personal word of forgiveness spoken to you from a cross made possible by that cross. And it comes to you in the very body and blood of the one who bled and died on that cross for you. What a difference the cross of our Savior makes among us as a church and within each of us as members of the body of Christ from the inside out. No mere cut and paste externals. No fly-by generalities. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.